Our sermon title this morning is Another Question, and it's a question that I think we need to ask ourselves on a fairly regular basis, as long as we're asking it for the right reasons. And the question, of course, is, who should I be? Well, the easy answer, of course, is that you should be who you are. And so now I guess we're done, and we can sing the next song, I suppose, but I think there's a bit more to it than that. Who should I be? It's one of those questions that we struggle with at various times in our lives. One of the things that demonstrates, at least to a certain extent, the achievement of some level of adulthood is when that's not the most important question in your life, as it was for so often when you were an adolescent, trying to figure out who you are and what you should be eventually and who you should be now and with this group of people. And as I was thinking about our various texts, this, of course, comes out of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Because we read Paul talking about preaching the gospel, and there's that part about where he says that I feel compelled to do this, which is an interesting part all in itself. But really, it's from verses 19 to 23 that I want us to talk about, or at least think a little bit about. There's two mistakes we can make, I think, when we think about sort of who we are and how we relate to other people. And one is an over application of what we take here from Paul. Because in some ways, the salient part of this whole section is where Paul says that I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And an over-application of that is where you become so much like all other people, the people that you're with, that you're indistinguishable from them. And you're no longer yourself at all. You take on everything about them to such an extent that there's no difference between you and them. And we see this quite often in younger people. Because you want to fit in, you want to be like the people around you. So when you're with a group of people who behave in a particular way, you do also. We do this as adults as well. I mean, generally speaking, we behave more or less like the people we're around, just because we want to fit in, we want to have some form of connection. And as adults, we tend to go places where we can fit in. We hardly ever end up in places where we simply can't. So it's a little bit different. For the average adolescent, you're kind of stuck. You have to go to school. You have to go to gym class, where perhaps you're completely inept when it comes to that sort of thing. Or you have to go to math class, where you're inept there, whatever it might be. You don't always have those options of just going places where you can fit in. And then the flip side of that, which is equally dangerous or equally unhelpful, is to insist that you are yourself so much that you make no effort whatsoever to fit in. And we've run across people like this. And they don't fit in. They cause all kinds of difficulties. The best way to see these two things in action are to travel. And when you go to another country, there are people who will work very hard at fitting in. And if they have the skills and such, they will fit into such an extent that you can't tell they don't belong there and haven't always belonged there. Now, it's harder to do if they speak a different language. But for some people, I noticed myself when I was in England, I've got a fairly good ear. It's one of the things that makes me a good singer, is that I can hear differences in pitch and tone and such. I can hear some that lots of people can't. I mean, it's just one of those things I was born with and then was given some training as a singer. But I've got a good ear. And when I was younger and fooled around with accents, I could do accents fairly well. And one of the things that I realized when I was in England is even when we went to the various places, it took almost no time whatsoever for me to sound like them without me trying at all. Which was a bit of a struggle, because when you ask for help, like when you ask how to get around in a town and you sound like you belong there, people look at you like you're a little crazy. And they also, with some justification, may think that you're making fun of them or something like that. So I had to work hard at that. But it was possible for me, at least in an English-speaking context, to fit in. If I would have been there longer, could have dressed like them and all that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you're a tourist and you're looking for some place, you want to talk to a local sometimes. But sometimes you want to talk to another tourist. And if you can't find one, and it turns out you're surrounded by them, it's just they fit in so well, it's a little bit trickier. I mean, that's a trivial example, of course. But the flip side, you also see in tourists, and they come from all over the world. Depending on the country, they'll tell you what the worst tourists are, so I'm not going to name them, because every country is considered the worst tourist in some other country in the world, so we can't look down our noses at anyone. But you see these people now and then. Well, they'll come into a restaurant and insist on getting something that isn't sold there because it's sold in all the restaurants at home. Like, what's wrong with you? Why, you know, the thing that got me all the time was North American tourists of all kinds going to England and complaining about the coffee. You know, don't you know how to make a good cup of coffee? No, they don't. Any more than you know how to make a decent cup of tea. You know, that's just the way it is. And to go there and insist that you are so much yourself that you won't bend even to what you drink in, you know, for your morning hot beverage, it's just silly and it gets in the way. And these are trivial examples, but they're ones that we can easily understand. And we can see how both of these can be unhelpful in their own ways. So when Paul says, I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some, Paul is talking in a way that might lead us to think that we should go all the way to that other side where we become indistinguishable from the people around us. Well, when it comes to what Paul's talking about, doing all that we can to win people, let's make sure that we understand what Paul is talking about. What Paul is saying is that he becomes as much like the people he's with so he can communicate best to the other people. He's not changing because there's something fundamentally wrong with himself or lacking within himself. Paul highlighted his Jewishness when he was with Jews and behaved as they did so they would hear him best. When Paul was with non-Jews, he highlighted those parts of him, the freedom that he had to not follow all of the Jewish requirements, so the people he was speaking to would hear him best. What Paul is doing is he's not becoming like other people so that he could be indistinguishable from them. What Paul was doing was reducing or eliminating every barrier to communication that was there. That's what this is about. It's not dressing like people so we look like them and that's just the end of it. It's that if your clothing choices are distracting, people won't pay as much attention to what you say. If your manner of speaking is foreign to what people are used to hearing, they won't actually hear what you say. Now, we do this all the time. For example, we all know, well, maybe we don't all know people, but there's a good chance we've all come across people who apparently don't know how to talk to babies. Now, I'm not saying that you have to talk baby talk to babies, because some people don't do baby talk very well. I, for example, am appalling at baby talk, so I don't even try. I talk to babies as if they're just like anybody else. But I don't talk to babies like I talk to you. Because when I talk to you, my eyebrows don't go up as much. And my voice isn't pitched higher. And I'm not enthusiastic about nothing like I am with babies. Why are we like this with babies? It's because that's what they understand best. To connect with babies don't get subtlety. You know, the ironic eyebrow lift is completely wasted on a baby that's a month old. If you want to interact with a baby that's a month old, you speak a little bit higher, you're a little more animated. When you speak to a toddler, you modify your vocabulary, you don't use all the words you own. Does this mean that you're somehow not being true to yourself? Of course not. It means you're communicating in a way that the person you're communicating with can understand. And that's what Paul's talking about. When we ask the question of who should I be around the people I'm with, is we want to be the kind of person who communicates best with them but never at the expense of who we most essentially are. When you work with people who are rough of manner, we'll use this one because it's fairly straightforward, people who, well, the example I always come back to, and this was not an example that I shone in by any means because, well, I wasn't a believer at that time, when I worked in a packing plant. If you wanted to go and work in a meat packing plant, at least the one that I worked in, it was not a place of subtlety of language. It was not a place to talk about ideas and such things. It was a place where people worked hard, spoke seldom, and when they did, all they did was swear. Like the language there was absolutely mind-boggling. You know, it's what we think longshoremen and construction workers are like, rolled together and squared. I've never been anywhere around anything like it in my entire life. And if for some reason I were to go back into that now, with the person I am, to go in there and to talk like I do now would just create nothing but barriers. But if I went in there and swore every bit as much as they did, and then at some point wanted to talk to them about the reality of the hope I have in God through Jesus, I don't think they'd listen to me. Yes, I had become like them, but I would become so much like them that what I was saying at that point would become completely incomprehensible. They'd say, like, what are you talking about? You're just like us. What do you mean? You know, I've heard you cursing the same way I do. But would it be possible to go into a place like that, to work as hard as they do, to speak as infrequently, but to moderate your language in such a way that you can still communicate without that kind of language being used? Yes, it is. Because I know people who have done it. Are you exactly like them then? No, you're not. There's always something a little bit different about you. But you still fit in. Maybe that's what Paul is telling us more than anything else. He's saying that the kind of person we should be is the person who can fit in while still being who you are. We need to be the kind of person who connects with human beings at the level that they can connect with, so that we can talk to them about things of ultimate importance when the time comes. Paul was someone who, I mean, Paul had tremendous skills. I mean, we're never going to be Paul. It's just beyond us to be that intellectually able to have the level of experience he had. I mean, as a cosmopolitan person, Paul was really quite extraordinary, even by the standards of the time. But there are all kinds of things that we do on a regular basis, that we do because they make us comfortable, that might, in some circumstances, get in the way of our ability to communicate with people that we'd like to be in connection with. And what this passage of Scripture does is it reminds us that of all the things that we do that we find convenient and make us comfortable, very few of them are part of the most essential parts of who we are. I remember reading a story, I don't know whether it was true or not, but the story of a family that had hired someone to help them at harvest or some other time, and they invited him to eat with the family because that's what they did. They didn't have enough people to have a bunkhouse or anything. And so the child who related this story as an adult said they were there, and they found it, this person, this rough and tough harvester, quite fascinating. They were good at everything until they sat down to eat, and it was like they'd never seen utensils before. They could barely get the food into their mouth. And they noticed that their father glanced over at the harvester, and then, without making any big thing about it, took his pocket knife, like his sort of utility knife that everybody carried back then. This is a number of years ago. Took it out, whipped open the blade, and ate with his knife. And that's all he used. He didn't use a fork. He didn't use a spoon. He used his knife. And when the harvester noticed, he, with a sort of some kind of an indication of relief, flipped out his knife and began eating with the alacrity that you would expect somebody who's worked all day, including eating, you know, peas and such with a knife. The person telling the story sort of looked over at his mother and made a look, sort of made a move for his knife, and she just gave, shook his head. Well, this is somebody doing what they needed to make someone comfortable. And once again, it's a small story. But do you think that perhaps at a break during the day following, that father would have wanted to talk to the harvester about important things about God or about anything? Do you think he would have been heard better after that or worse? Better, of course. Because he modified his behavior in a way that said, I'm more like you, I understand you, I can be like you, and you can be like yourself around me. It's a wonderful gift we can do for people. We call it hospitality. Some people have it in a spiritual sense as well. The spiritual gift of hospitality, of making people comfortable around them, is an extraordinary thing. We don't all have that gift. But Paul tells us that we can become all things to all people, so that by all possible means we might also save some. We don't always have to be the people we are in church. I, for example, very seldom wear clothes like this when I go to work. I can. There are people there who are better dressed than all of us put together. I work with people who tie their own bow ties and come to work on a regular basis. That's just who they are. It fits perfectly well. I tend to wear a sweatshirt. I still haven't really recovered from those years when I wore a suit 6 days a week. I don't know. Maybe I probably just need to get over it, but I haven't quite yet. But the fact that I don't wear this on Sunday, or I don't wear this when I go to work the rest of the week, doesn't mean that I'm somehow not being true to myself then. Part of it is I want to fit in with the people I work with. And if I suddenly started wearing a suit, they would ask questions and it wouldn't cause problems. They've known me for a long time. But the fact that I look different the rest of the week than I do here doesn't mean that I have changed who I am. None of us expect ourselves or anyone else to dress the same in every situation. We shouldn't expect ourselves to behave exactly the same in every situation. And we should be willing to let go of some of those, and some of those things we value. Paul talks frequently about the value that he found in his Jewishness. But he was willing to let go, to release some parts of those that weren't essential to who he was, so that he might strongly communicate with people who needed him to communicate with them. Who should we be? We should always be the person who can communicate best to the other person. But we should always be the person who we were created to be. Paul isn't asking us to turn our backs on any of those things that make us, in our deepest essence, who we are. Paul most certainly is not saying that around idolaters you worship idols. Paul's not saying that around sinful people you do the same sin they do so you fit in. No, Paul is saying reduce or remove those barriers to communication so that you might get to know people and they get to know you. And that through that, you too might by all possible means save some. We don't have to be the same person every second of every day, which is a good thing. That would be exhausting. We don't expect it of ourselves in any other way. And Paul is reminding us again that we have multi facets that we can show to people and that we should think carefully. We're allowed to think carefully about what it is that we can do that will be best for reducing those barriers so that we can communicate to people who need to know, who need to hear who we are in God. Amen.